second Advent candle, which is our candle of faith. Last week was our candle of hope. Go, James. You go, man. See you, buddy. Our candle of faith. Hope and faith. Where would we be without those two things in our life? Faith, the belief, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is what the Scripture says. Our faith in the belief of Christ that has come, that we celebrate, and is coming again. Today, as we look in our Scripture, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9, a very familiar Christmas verse. A child is born is the title of our message. A child is born. And we've been singing about this Christ child and celebrating, we decorate, and we'll think about that as we get into His Word today. Just one verse this morning. So take your Word, if you will, whether it's electronic or in your hand a Bible or a pew Bible in front of you, and take and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to give you a minute and say, where's Isaiah? It's in the Old Testament. Hey, it's a big one. You can find it if you look. Isaiah chapter 9. Stand to your feet when you have it, and let's reverence the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 9, 6, one verse, and you'll know it well. It says this, the Word of God says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I pray in Jesus' name that you'll touch our hearts with not only this season, this child that we're thinking about, but your word. And God, the faith that the candle that we lit this morning, the faith that's represented in Isaiah that looked for that Messiah to come and wrote about it so many years ago, and how we can glean from it this morning. Let your word go forth and touch our hearts for your glory. And all God's people said, you may be seated. We're fast. We're what? We're 17 days from Christmas, if you're counting down. 17 days from Christmas. If I asked you right now and I said, are you ready? Are you ready? Listen, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Are we ready? I want you to know that this time of the year represents the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, and that's Jesus Christ, God's Son, that came to this earth. And the thought of those things, it should fill us with this idea of wonder. It should fill us with this idea of this marvelous time of year and what it means and what it doesn't mean and how we celebrate and how we can take the two and bring them together, but making sure that we keep one in the forefront. And that is a child that has been born. And I want us to think about that. Here Isaiah writes these words, listen, 800 years before Christ would be born. 800 years before Christ would be born, we see this prophet and his faith and the belief of that Messiah that was coming, that one, that anointed one that had been predicted all throughout the pages of Scripture from the very beginning to the end. It's all about Jesus. And Isaiah could look in the future and see that one that was coming, that child that would be born. And I want you to know, in his day, in his time frame, it was a dark time. It was a dark time. The complacency and apathy had set into the children of Israel. It was a time that he was predicting the exiles that were coming. They hadn't happened, but they would soon happen in the future. That God's children would be taken out of the land that was promised. And so Isaiah wrote this beautiful book that talked about the here, the soon to come, and the soon after. And he wrote in that way, prophetic form. Why? He had faith in God. And he believed, and we can glean 2019 here on this December today from these words, because we know the ultimate author of this Scripture is what? God. He inspired Isaiah to write these words so that me and you on this December could grasp from his Word. You see, here's the deal. You don't need a man to get up and entertain you. You do not need somebody to get up and tell you stories. You need, thus says the Word of God. And what we can do, and what can it do? It can change your life. It can change the world. A child is born. I want us to think about that. Listen, J.I. Packard said this, great theologian, "Nothing in fiction as staggering as the truth of the incarnation." The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. God becomes amazing thing. You could not come up with all the fiction in the world that would match the truth of what we are about to experience in God's Word, and that we're going to experience, that we experience every year. And the idea of Christmas is every day, 24/7, 365, because God has come. And so I want us to think about that as God proclaims it through His message through Isaiah, and He talks about the people that He begins chapter 9 talking about, the people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And I pray that we'll see that great light as Jesus in our scriptures today. Think about this first of this coming child, His sonship. Look at verse 6a where it says this, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Unto who? Us. Who does us encompass? Everyone. That's the great thing about the gospel. That's the great thing that we showed the scene of people all around the world. All around the world today, as the sun has come up and the sun sets, that the gospel reaches all people. This sun is given for all people. To us, unto us is given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. John 1:1, I can't help but think about that. What does it say? In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And listen to what it says, very important. And the Word was God. So many heresies are set up on because people say, well, Jesus is not God. If Jesus is not God, we're all lost and we're wasting our time. We might as well go home, eat us a burger, take a nap, and watch some football. Say, well, it's not on yet. I know what you're thinking. Listen, I'm serious. We're lost. If Jesus is not God, and I hope that through this we'll see why. And so he says, and I love this because John says that this was the Word speaking to God. But then he goes on down in John 1:14, you know what he says? And the Word became what? Flesh. And he said, and he dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory as the glory as the only begotten of the God the Father. John said, listen, this is not just a myth that Isaiah wrote, but we saw him. John testified, we saw him become, he was flesh. When John laid upon his bosom, he said he was the Christ, he was the disciple that Christ loved. John heard his heart beat of God. He said, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so the Bible is clear about these two things. Listen to me. The humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. Very clear. You say, 100% man and 100% God. The hypostatic union. We don't have time to try to chip on that one today. All I want you to understand is the Bible teaches that's what he was. Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. Only been one. And he came for a reason. What was that reason? It's you. It's you. Sitting in your pew. That's why he came. And we'll see that fleshed out. But I want us to think about this sonship. This unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And one of the reasons why he has to be man and he has to be God. First word is mediator. Mediator. 1 Timothy says this. Look, there. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so he comes as mediator between. What does a mediator do? He represents both sides equally. That's what a mediator does. He comes and he represents both sides. Jesus learned as any other man did. You say, what do you mean? He learned, his mama taught him things, just like you teach your children. You say, what? God? He was man. He learned to tie his shoes. He learned to make his bed. You say, listen, you can't take the deity away. Listen, oh, get ready. He sold his diaper just like any other baby. God, what, wait a minute, you can't say that. I said, no, that's the humanity of Jesus. That's what J.I. Packard says. When you think about that, God could, he could have came any way that he chose to come. Any way, he's God. He can do anything. Hey, he made the sun come up this morning. He made me get out of bed this morning. Believe it or not, yeah. He's God. He could do anything. He could have come anyway, but he chose to come, what? As an innocent baby that had to be taken care of. You're right, J.I. It's amazing. The more we think about it, the more mind-boggling that it becomes. And so we see that he's the mediator. Man, he learns to make his bed, tie his shoes. He learns from his parents. He's like any other child in that way on the humanity side. Yet, he's God throughout all eternity. Always been God, always will be God. In the beginning, John said, did he not, was the Word. So that means now here, outside of our little cook your noodle time, outside of time and space that we live in, that we don't understand eternity past. There wasn't any clocks. There wasn't any time frames. It's God's time. He's always been and always will be. And that stumbles some people up because all we know is time and space. He's outside of that. Praise God, I'm glad he is. If we could put him in our little box, he wouldn't be God. He's outside of that. And so he's this mediator in time and space. This God becomes the child of Mary. He becomes that baby in a manger that we'll be singing about, that we'll decorate our yards with or our house with, that we all these great hymns are written about, that the trees and all these things that we do is about that baby. He's mediator between God and man. But not only is he just mediator, but the next word, praise God, is he's redeemer. He's redeemer. He's redeemer. I like this in Galatians in 4:4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive, listen to this, the adoption as sons. You're a child of the King this morning, if you're one of his children. Now, you might feel like a son or daughter of the devil sometimes, but listen, if you're saved under the blood of Jesus Christ, the Scripture says he came not only to be our mediator between God and man, but he came to redeem us. That means to buy us back off the sin block of sin. Off that sin block. He buys us back. He redeemed those under law, and he adopts us into the family. He changes our name. We become one of his. And once you become one of his, guess what? You can't quit being one of his sons or daughters. Listen, this a Christmas card read this. This gift may not mean much to you, but it cost me everything, signed God. Something to think about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I know that a couple times at the baptism, John is in the Jordan. Jesus shows up, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he's baptized by John. John, he has an argument a little bit. John said, how are you going to do that? You need to baptize me. And John said, Jesus tells him, you've got to do this. It's fulfillment. He baptizes him, and it says the heavens opened. And the Spirit of God came down on him like the form of a dove. And then what? This is what I want you to get at. Listen, what the Father said. This is my what? Beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father acknowledges him. And here's the deal. He does it again on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know that? They go up on the mountain and Jesus actually shows his transfigured self before Peter, James, and John. He's so glorified that Peter said, I got to say something. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Build some tabernacles for three of you? God the Father again. This is my beloved Son. In other words, there's no other. There's no other. Jesus is that example. He is our Redeemer. We know John 3:16. What does it say? Listen to it when you say it, not just repeating it. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. He gave what? His only begotten Son. Why did he do that? That whosoever will, believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's Christmas. We should have done that verse today because there it is summed up. We repeat it. Most of our kids can even say it. We can even repeat it. But have you ever thought about those words? He loved so much that he gave. He gave what? He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The only reason you're perishing, you choosing to perish this morning is because you're rejecting the only way, and that's Jesus. But his arms are open wide. And if you're here and you don't know him, his arms are here and he's saying, listen, whosoever will come to me. And he says, I will in no wise cast out. There's nobody here that's been so bad or done something so wrong that Christ can't save you. I can testify to that. Amen, brother. Amen. We must take the whole scripture when we see it and understand that the incarnation of Christ, that God becoming man, here's the deal. The whole scripture points to that, but you cannot have Christmas without Easter. The babe don't just stay a baby cuddly baby. Ooh, all those pictures. I have a new granddaughter, by the way, and we ooh and ah over. We got the little pictures flipping over there, and we just stand there. Ooh, she's so pretty. Jesus becomes that babe that everybody oohs and ahs, but he grew up into a man that gave his life on a cross and died and was buried, but praise God, arose again on the third day. That was the reason for him coming. That's the reason for the season, is Jesus has come, and he redeems us. He buys us back because of that sacrifice. You can't have the cradle without the cross. You can't pick and choose. It's the total package, and that's what he was. That sacrifice is why he came. Sacrifice is why he came. For you and I. We cannot be forgiven of our sin without that resurrection, without that sacrifice on the cross. We're all lost. That babe becomes that man and gives his life on the cross for you and I. That's Christmas, my friend. That is Christmas. That's his sonship. But I want you to see next his authority. Look at 6b. And the government will be upon his shoulders. Shoulders is already mentioned in verse 4 where it says, for you have broken the yoke of the burden of the staff of his shoulders. This idea of the government resting upon his shoulders because he has all authority. Do you understand that this morning? Government does not have authority. There's no ruling factions in which God has not put in place. And it has a purpose and it has a will. Sometimes you scratch your head and say, how is that? That's one of those mysteries you're going to have to ask God about. He's in authority. He's in control of everything. He was born a child, but yet he was a king. You remember when the Magi come, don't you, looking for him, and it's a couple years later at the house, and it says, where? And they go to Herod first, and what do they say? Where is he that's born what? King of the Jews. Where's the king? Where is the Messiah? Nobody would ever believe that that babe in a manger would be the answer to all humanity's problems, would they? No, nobody would ever believe that. It's just like that nobody would ever believe that bloody man on the cross would be the answer to everybody's problems. But I'm going to tell you, one did that day. That thief on the cross. He acknowledged God for who he was and his authority. You remember that? He even says that if you'll read the stories and they're hurling insults upon him, and finally he comes to his senses. He says, this man is suffering unjustly. We're suffering for our penalty and for our sins, but he's suffering unjustly. And he turns to Jesus on the cross, both of them dying. And what does he say? Remember me. Remember me. What does Jesus answer? Today you will be with me in paradise. What kind of man can guarantee you that? One that has all authority, my friend. One that has all authority. Today you will be. Can you imagine that old thief when they broke his leg, and it said the scripture says they broke his legs and he drew his last breath to wake up and face eternity? There's Jesus. Can you imagine? He has that kind of authority to make those kind of promises. Listen, what kind of, when you're out on the sea and you're tossed, Jesus is asleep in the boat, it don't matter that that's Jesus in the boat, but you're wore out, been fighting the winds, and you go over there and you make one of the stupidest, oh, I can't say S word in here, can I? I got to be careful. One of the stupidest questions that's ever been asked, the master. Master, don't you care that we're perishing? He didn't come to drown in a boat. He came to die on a cross. They weren't going to drown in that boat, and that boat wasn't going nowhere. But they didn't understand who was in the boat, so what did he do? He got up and said this, peace be still. And the scripture says the storm quieted to the point that it scared them worse than the storm did. They thought they was going to lose their life. But what would scare you more than a storm outside of the boat? God in the boat. And the realization of that when he says, peace be still, and it calmed the whole storm. That was his authority. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this about the cross. With the cross, all the sin and the distress of the world we loaded on his shoulders. Your sin, my sin, everyone's sin, he can bear it because he's the Son and he has all authority. Listen, we need this Christ. 2019 has played that out more so than anything else. What do you say? Shooting after shooting, death after death. People looking for hope, looking for meaning, looking for something that makes sense in this world. They're not going to find it until they find this babe. They find this man that died on the cross for them. Jesus is the answer to all the problem. Listen, if education was the answer, how's that happening? How's that going? We're the most educated we've ever been. More technologies. If education, we just need to teach people more. How's that working? What we need to do is teach people that Jesus came and he died for your sin and my sin, and you will not be fulfilled. You can be as educated as you want to. You get so smart that you take God out of the equation. How smart is that, my friend? And I want you to know your universities are teaching your kids that you're stupid to believe this stuff. And I want you to know it's just the opposite. They're the ones stupid that's teaching you not to believe it because they're leading you into a devil's hell and the only way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ, this babe that's born in a manger. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. No, that's the truth. That's God's word. For unto us a child is born. All authority. In fact, when he gets ready, look, he gets ready for his ascension. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. What does he say to his disciples? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And because of that, what does he tell them to do? Go. Go. We're still going. And they went. How do I know they went? Well, just look around. Okay? Just look around. We're sitting here in this church because those 11 men took it serious when they said to go. And it's still going on. And guess what? It's your turn now. It's your turn to go. It's your turn to take the gospel out in the communities. It's your turn to live it out in front of a world that desperately needs that light shone into the darkness. It's our turn. No greater story in the world than his story. His sonship is authority. But last, look at his identity in 6C. And look what it says about him. And his name will be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Think about this. Listen, Wonderful Counselor. When we think about a counselor, what do we think about? Going and paying somebody about $100 an hour. How do you feel about that? If I understood how I felt about that, I wouldn't need to come to you and pay you $100 an hour to tell me. Therapy, I'm not knocking that. People that do that, there's some good things out there. But listen, we have a wonderful counselor that understands. He don't have to ask you how you feel. He knows. He knows the problems. He knows what you're going through. He knows you intimately inside and out. That's your counselor. That's the person that you can bring your troubles to. Our wonderful counselor, he has wise ideas. He gives good advice. He has great plans and great directions. Listen, I want you to understand, if you don't hear anything else today, he has a plan and he has a purpose for each and every one of you sitting here in this room. That's the wonderful counselor, because he's intimately involved in your life, and he wants you to turn to him and just say, here, God, do with it what you want. Here I am. Take my life and use it unto him. This wonderful counselor will never give you bad counsel. He has wisdom. He's the embodiment of wisdom. How privileged that we are as his children to be able to take our cares and concerns to him and our decisions and our heartbreaks to such a one that can shoulder it all, that can handle it all, and there's nothing that you're going through that he can't work through it all. Somebody all said hallelujah. Did you praise God for LSU winning last night? I bet you didn't say, oh, praise the Lord. You said, whoa, the Tigers have won again. How about, whoa, Jesus has come. Jesus has come, and he's coming again, and he knows you, and he cares for you. That's what we all get excited about. That's what Christmas is about. It's him. It's this child. And he goes on. He don't just stop at Wonderful Counselor. Look what he says. Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's this transcendent Holy One. And he comes near. He's transcendent, far above our thinking, but he's intimate in each life. He's in each one of our lives, and he cares about you. Well, he don't care about me. Listen, he's not the problem. We are. And when he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you pull to him, I promise you he will be there. How can I promise you that? Because that's the promise of God's word, not a man standing behind a pulpit. This is one that's been changed by this word that didn't give a flip about God and his ways for minutes of his life. But when he touched my heart, listen, when I pulled to him, he was there. And I realized, listen, when it was me that was the problem, not him. And when I confessed my sins, he forgave me. And I've never got over it. And I don't think I ever will. And if I do, you need to kick me on out. Listen. He's the mighty God and everlasting Father. He revealed himself in flesh and he was a babe, but this doesn't diminish his power whatsoever. He did not sacrifice his deity. He sacrificed the privileges of his deity, but he was still God. And I love it. He brings it as forever, everlasting fathers, our fathers, and some of us have lost our dads. And they're temporal. We're temporal in this body here on this earth. But he's always there. And he's a heavenly father that's not up there ready to whip you every time you make a mistake. He's up there for your goodness and your love and your mercy. And he's there to embrace you and take you through life's journey. You want to have good life? Get behind the Lord. Oh, it's not the easiest thing you've ever done, but I promise you this, it's the most rewarding. You can lay your head down at night and not have to guess or worry or scratch it. You can know where you're headed. I have a destiny. It didn't come from a box of chocolates. It came from the Word of God. He says we have a plan and we have a purpose. Listen, he is the Almighty. He's the mighty God and the everlasting Father. He has the power to accomplish all things. How can a man feed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fishes? Now, we know that. And you can imagine us Baptists, the way we eat, that wouldn't last in the first row, would it? Five loaves and two fishes? Well, I eat five or six fish myself. Probably a loaf of bread. How does he feed 5,000 people? He's God. He's able to do anything. He created it all. That means he's not under the control of these natural laws. He created the natural laws. He's outside of that. It's called supernatural. Called supernatural. This is the God that we serve. You know what? I remember the song. I think it was maybe in our cantata, The Wonder of It All. Was that last year's cantata? Oh, the wonder of it all. That he would come to earth, take on flesh, and dwell among us. Oh, the wonder of it all, that he would become one of us, and that he would give his life on a hill called Calvary, that we can have this eternal life, that we can have this peace that we're going to see next, because he's the Prince of Peace. Is that not what the Scripture says? He's born to bring us peace. The only true peace comes from the Prince of Peace. It's not the plastic answer when you ask the Miss America, what does she want? World peace. It's one that can really bring it. The only way the world will ever have peace is to embrace the Prince of Peace. Peace is not the absence of turmoil. It's the presence of God. Let me say that again. Peace is not the absence of turmoil. It is the presence of God. You cannot get peace, but you can get that one that brings it. Without that, you can listen. You cannot get peace, but peace can get you. That's the best way of putting it. You cannot get peace, but peace can get you. You need peace this morning? You need peace? I promise you, if you don't have it, you know it. And you can play and practice. You can put on a good plastic act. But when you lay down, it's that gnawing in your gut at night when you're wondering, is this all life's about? Is this what it is? Just going to work, making a living, paying these payments that are there every month. They don't even give you a break in December. Is that all life is? Meeting somebody, having kids, going yada, 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 yada. And you're like, it ain't no wonder that the world is just all to pieces because they start thinking about these things. And the truth is, all that works in His plan. And He has peace for you. And you can find God in the midst of whatever turmoil you're in because He is peace. I can testify to that. I was that guy looking for it. Grass was always greener on the other side. That thrill seeker that wanted to do the next thing to make you happy. You come to the end of your road, believe me, all the alcohol, drugs, whatever you want to take to try to get you out of the reality of life will not lead you to anything but despair. But Jesus, when you find Him, He brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. No wonder that in that great Him, hark the herald, angels sing, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hell incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our what? Emmanuel. These great hymns are sung around this understanding of what we're preaching about today. Is that not what the heavenly host, the old shepherds out there in the field, man, all of a sudden heaven couldn't hold back any longer, and they burst on the scene, and these shepherds are sitting there, and what are they saying? Peace on earth, goodwill to men, for unto you is born in the city of David. What is He? Savior. The greatest thing that those shepherds needed, same thing that we do this morning, is a Savior. That's what they proclaim. The only true avenue to peace had come. Jesus was born. The Prince of Peace. Applications. First question. Now let me ask you, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? Has nothing to do with, I got to buy this and I got to buy that. I got to get this decorated. We're not going to decorate this year. And all this, whatever that encompasses, when I asked you if you're ready for Christmas, are you ready for Christmas? Number two, who and what is Jesus to you? That is the question, my friend, of all humanity. Who and what is Jesus to you? Because your eternity hinges on the answer to that question. Number three, what gift will you give Him this year? I think it was Mandy told me that Ottman, I was talking about the gifts and Jesus, and she made this statement. Ottman said, well, what are we going to give Jesus? It's His birthday. From the mouth of babes. You know what He wants? You. You, your life. That's why He came. That's why He died. Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to tarry long. The Holy Spirit's spoken to you. You're lost. Bow your heads before the Lord right now and do business with God. Just you and Him. Talk to Him. Don't think about who's around or who else is in this room. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you have to question that and ask yourself and wonder about that, is He really there? What does He want from you? If you need to receive Christ, walk this aisle. Come right now. Come and pray and receive Him because He stands here. That babe came and grew in that man on the cross for you. Nobody else. And don't worry about what anybody thinks. If God is telling you to do it, you do it in obedience unto Him. Second question. You got to answer this honestly before the Lord. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you caught up in the materialistic way that we do Christmas here in America? Are you ready for Christmas? Or are you already thinking, well, I'll just be glad when it's over. Can Christmas ever be over when we see it for what it really is? What's God saying to you? What are you going to give Jesus for Christmas? Same thing you always give Him. They want you. Just a moment before the Lord while people are praying. What about you? Altar's open. You need to make a trip and just say unto the Lord, Lord, this Christmas, I'm not going to do it the same way I always do it. Or how about peace? Boy, I touched on it. Oh, I was hoping He wouldn't say anything about peace. Because you know you don't have it inside. What's God saying to you? Just a minute. Look here. I love you. You need to talk. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's the number one need that you have. I will sit down with you. It doesn't matter what's going on. That's the number one thing that is important. If he can save me, he can save anybody. Okay? And I promise you, you ain't went down a road that I hadn't been with you at one time or another. I'm not that kind of pastor that doesn't know where you've been. And I can help you on that. Don't allow your past to keep you from making it right in the present. I want you to know something. Jesus loves you. And there's nothing that you've done, nothing too bad, that he can't give you his grace and mercy for. Don't let the world tell you a lie. Come that night, 6 o'clock, food and fellowship. Choir practice afterwards, so we'll have our cantata practice. A lot of good things going on. I want you to know I love you. Any way that I can help you, I'm here for you because I love you. Lay closes and pray.